I slept most of the afternoon and woke up feeling terrible. Just when my body had adjusted to local time, I had messed it up by keeping odd hours. I went early to Avershawn's Dowment. This evening's recipe called for a lot of peeling and chopping, so I brought a knife and cutting board around to the front veranda and worked there, partly to enjoy the last of the sunlight, but also partly in hopes I might intercept Fra Jad on his way to Messel. Avershawn's Dowment was a big stone house, not quite so fortress-like as some mathic structures I could name, with balconies, cupolas, and box windows that made me wish I could be a member of it, just so that I could do my daily work in such charming and picturesque surrounds. As if the architect's sole objective had been to ignite envy in the hearts of Avout, so that they'd scheme and maneuver to get into the place. I was fortunate that such an exceptional chain of events had made it possible for me even to sit on its veranda for an hour peeling vegetables. My conversation with Ayla had reminded me that I had better take advantage of the opportunity while I could. The dowment was situated on a knoll, so I had a good view over open lawns that rambled among other dowments and chapter houses. Groups of Avout came and went, some talking excitedly, some silent, hunched over, exhausted. Fras and Sewers were strewn at random over the grounds, wrapped in their bolts, pillowed on their spheres, sleeping. To see so many, clothed in such varied styles, reminded me again of the diversity of the mathic world, a thing I'd never been aware of until I'd come here, and cast Ayla's talk of a second rebirth in a different light. The idea of tearing the gates off the hinges was thrilling in a way, simply because it represented such a big change. But would it mean the end of all that the Avout had built in 3,700 years? Would people in the future look with awe at empty minsters and think that we must have been crazy to walk away from such places? I wondered who else might be assigned to my cell and what tasks we might be assigned by those in charge of the anti-swarm. A reasonable guess was that I'd simply be with my new laboratorium group and that we'd go on doing the same sorts of things. Living in rooms in a casino in some random city, toiling over diagrams of the ship, eating secular food brought up by illiterate servants in uniforms. The group included two impressive Theors, one from Barito and one from a Consent on the Sea of Seas. The others were mediocre, and I didn't especially relish the idea of being sent on the road with them. Occasionally, I would glimpse one of the Ringing Veil contingent, and my heart would beat a little faster as I imagined what it would be like to be in a cell with them. Rank fantasy, of course. I would be worse than useless in such company, but fun to daydream about. No telling what such a cell would be ordered to do. But it would certainly be more interesting than guessing inertia tensors. Probably something incredibly dangerous. So perhaps it was for the best that they were out of my league. Or in a similar yet very different vein, what would Fra Jad's cell look like? And what sorts of tasks would they be assigned? How privileged I'd been, in retrospect, to have traveled in a Thousander's company for a couple of days. As far as I'd been able to make out, he was the only millenarian in the comm box. I'd settle for being in a cell with at least one of the old clock-winding team from Edhar. Yet I doubted that this would be the case. Ayla was quite obviously troubled by some aspect of the decisions she had made regarding cell assignments, and though I could not know just what was eating at her so, it did serve as a warning that I should not lull myself into imagining a happy time on the road with old friends. The respect, I was tempted to call it awe, with which we Edharians were viewed by many at the Convox, made it unlikely that several of us would be concentrated in one cell. They would spread us out among as many cells as possible. We would be leaders, and lonely in the same way Ayla was. Fra Jad approached from the direction of the precipice. I wondered if they had given him a billet up on top in the Thousander's math. If so, he must be spending a lot of time negotiating the stairs. He recognized me from a distance and strolled right up. "I found Orlo," I said, though of course Jad already knew this. He nodded.
"It is unfortunate what happened," he said.
"Orlo would have passed through the labyrinths in due time and become my Fra on the crag, and it would have been good to work by his side, drink his wine, share his thoughts."
"His wine was terrible," I said.
"Share his thoughts, then."
"He seemed to understand quite a lot," I said, and I wanted to ask how. had he deciphered coded messages in the Thousander's chants? But I didn't want to make a fool of myself. He thought, that you have developed a praxis. I can't help but imagine that this accounts for your great age.